discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, things will be better. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson.
Okay, for this podcast number three, Parker and the Man podcast three, for this very special Sunday slash Monday slash this week or whatever you want to call it, I'm going to let Rob Paca bring us back. Come on, Rob, bring us in.
All right, it's the Parker and the Man podcast.
Do the sports night with Parker, podcast night.
It's podcast night with Parker and the Man. Rob Paca along with the man Mark Wilson. Reedy, Flage, Gavin,
Lulu,
T-Money, Baby Stacy, Junior, all on the other side of the glass. That's a busy all on the other side of the glass.
What happened to Ron? You didn't even mention Ron's name.
And Ron, that's right. Another man. You know how many people we work with? That's pretty good.
I saw Ron last at the International Auto Show this year. There was Ron and his little WCHB peeps
doing
his peep thing.
Very nice, Ron. Haven't seen him in a while.
What'd you call Baby Stacy, by the way?
Junior, Baby Stacy Junior.
And before we have a lot of Junior. You're a Junior?
Yes, Robert Lee Parker, Junior.
You know, you got me saying that ever since you ever started doing that. I can't just say Junior now. It's always someone Junior.
You know, that's from Seinfeld.
I feel weird saying it that way.
People got mad at us. Do you remember that a little bit?
Who got mad at us for that?
Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, because you said it. They thought you were making fun of
me. We were just saying it every time. On this very special Martin Luther King Jr. holiday.
Don't say it like that. Yeah. Right. Making fun of him.
It's like, no, we're not making fun of him.
Well, the guy that plays wide receiver for Michigan State, named McGarrett Kings Jr. McGarrett Kings, it's a great name. He's named after Steve McGarrett, the character Jack Lord created on the original Hawaii 5-0.
Book'em, Dano, Murder One.
There you go. Well, that's how you say it's McGarrett, just like Steve McGarrett. Don't try to funk it up with something stupid. It's McGarrett Kings, and you better get used to it because the guy's a hell of a receiver, and so far he's probably the best thing they got. Where do you want to start? You were at the Tiger game today. Watch
the
Lions.
That's fine.
Little Lions business.
Go ahead.
Little Lions business on this third podcast if you're scoring at home, and Lord knows I know you are. Jack Lord knows I know you are. Win the game. 27-20, first ever win in D.C. You got to give it up to the first ever. They finally broke a streak that had lasted since 1937. You're talking 76 years of futility in the nation's capital, actually at Landover now because that's where FedEx Field is. And you think about it, and I was on NBC this week, and they were asking a little thing about whether or not they couldn't believe that streak. And I said, yeah, they haven't won since the Redskins were in Boston when they were the Boston Lobsters. And he said, were they really the Lobsters? I said, no, they weren't the Lobsters. I just like calling them the old Boston Lobsters. But they were originally the Boston Redskins. Actually, it goes back to the Boston Braves. There were one year, they were an NFL team with the Boston Braves, then became the Boston Redskins in 1933. 32, they were the Boston Braves, which was also the baseball team back then before they moved to Milwaukee. So they just named the team the same, just like there was an old New York Yankees football team. So they moved to Boston, go from Boston in 36 to Washington in 37, and since that time they had lost 21 straight in the regular season, three more in the postseason. The 82 team that went 4-5, that was that strike-shortened year under Monty Clark, they lost that postseason game. They lost in that great year of 91, sandwiched between two terrible games against the Redskins. Eric Kramer fumbled in D.C. first series, and they got killed 41-10. And then in 99, under Bobby Ross, under Boss Ross, I don't coach him. I don't bus ticket coach him that way.
I don't coach like that.
They lost that. So that's 24 games they'd played in D.C. and had never, ever come out victorious. In fact, quite honestly, most of them had been blowouts. They were blowout losses for whatever reason when they go out east on the East Coast there. You know, I don't like to diss the victory, but on my list, I had the loss I had the win over Minnesota. I had the loss to Arizona. That was right on. And now they got their one up on me. They've got a win that I put a loss on.
I never poo-poo winning. So you win a game, you get credit, you win, and it was a game. It was a statement game because I believe that they lost a game. It would say a lot. Obviously, Washington's struggling. The defense has been horrendous. And RG3 has not been RG3. So with all those things working, you're the Lions. You got to feel like you can go in there and win a game. Even without Reggie Bush, okay, I know everybody wants to say he's the end-all, be-all, but okay, great to have. But the team doesn't stop because Reggie Bush can't play. And second of all, ask New Orleans and ask Miami.
I don't want to hear about injuries in the NFL.
Come on, stop it. That's what I'm saying. I don't even want to hear about it.
Got a good backup guy.
So that is definitely a sign. You know, they got help. Everybody gets help. That's what turnovers are. You take advantage of them. You win the game. The only thing I'm going to guard people against before you get crazy and before you get your panties in a bunch and you're ready
your
to buy.
Your panties in a bunch.
Yeah, I'm going to, here you go. I'm going to rain on your little parade.
My panty parade?
Yes, I am. The two teams.
Not my panty parade.
The two teams they've beaten are 0-3, which you're supposed to beat those teams. They played three teams, Mark. They have a total of one win between the three teams, and they're 2-1.
Well, the one win came against you. Came against the Lions. You're talking about Arizona?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, should they be happy? Absolutely. Their last road win was against Jacksonville. Another game you almost can't count. Do you know what I mean? Like, so this for them to be able to get a win, and when the season is over, you might look back and realize how bad Washington is. Because you know what, Mark? If there was ever a desperation game for Washington, it was this one. And it didn't happen. Especially when you start a game with a pick six and you don't win that game, you have a little momentum, the crowd. I think the Redskins are dead. I think they're dead.
The thing that got to me is, and I said this, I was texting some people, and I said, I cannot believe this is a Mike Shanahan coach team. It shows you the difference between when you have John Elway and win a couple of Super Bowls and you have a rookie QB or you go into a situation where you don't have as much talent as you think you do. And Jim Haslett is a pretty good defensive coordinator. I was shocked. I said, this cannot be. First of all, it's not going to last long because he's already been there a bit of time. And this, if this fails this year, I got to believe Shanahan and Haslett are probably out. Dan Snyder's not going to wait around too much.
It just seems like, you know, after last year winning the NFC East and all that, and what they win, 7 or 8, ripped off 7 or 8 in a row at the end of the season to win the division and all the things. And again, on this day, the Redskins season's over and the Washington Nationals. Not a good day in the nation's capital, you know, basically.
And that's your buddy, Robert Griffin III, the Twa.
You know, Mark, it's never been about him and about football and all that. It's a shame that he's injured. I hate to see anybody injured and then try to come back. And, you know, I saw stuff where Boomer Esiason says he shouldn't even be playing, that maybe they rushed him back and he doesn't look like himself. Who knows? Kirk Cousins.
I heard a better thing about Cousins. They think because Shanahan has that offense and his son is the offensive coordinator, that Cousins is actually better than Griffin to run that particular style of offense. Because Alfred Morris is so talented, and they barely use him right. They don't even use him right.
But, Mark, you're messing with the one thing I'm going to tell you is, if you're the Redskins, once you take Griffin out, you devalue him and you allow fans to all of a sudden say, whatever, you know. And the guy last year was unbelievable as a rookie. I know he's hurt, but that's a big investment you've already made. I don't know if you could just quickly pull a guy out because you got to give him a degree of he's tried to come back quick and stuff. So it's interesting just to see.
Well, look, after the pick six by D'Angelo Hall, who ain't young himself, Matt Stafford, to be honest with you, and to be a little bit more in praise mode, I almost wanted to say he was near perfect because no turnovers. Rest of the way down after the first one, none, zero. Not that I'm discounting that one because that was a big factor in the game. That's why, I mean, they still had a Hail Mary to try to tie the game up and go to overtime. Still, we're in Hail Mary mode. It was that close. But that's all NFL games, right? That's what we always say. If we're going to hurt them, if we're going to hurt the Lions on them, sometimes we've got to give them the credit for it. Ziggy Ansah, couple of sacks, looks pretty good at what he does. Sam Martin had a 72-yard punt in the game. This is a kid from Appalachian State. There's some guys that are making a difference that they brought in this offseason that could show you that there's a little bit different football attitude than they had last year.
I just don't see it yet only because of the competition. I always look at who you beat, Mark, especially when you talk about the NFL. They're cupcakes. You're supposed to win them. You're supposed to beat them. Okay, there's a couple more on the schedule. Chicago's doing well, right? Let's see that game. That's a home game. And then you go on the road to Green Bay and the Browns. So we'll see. You knew the easiest part of the schedule is this part of the schedule when you look at it. It's the second half of the schedule that's brutal. So you better pile up and get some wins that you're supposed to. Otherwise, you're in for a tougher schedule season than you. Right? You're no shocker that they're 2-1, are you?
Yes, I am. They're supposed to be 1-2 on my sheet. They should be 1-2.
How many games do you have them winning again?
5.
Okay, so for you, I have them 7-9, so I'm not that off of my mark. I'm looking at them as a 7-9 team.
But see, I've already have to. If you look at what I've already got down there, I put them beating. Well, I got them beating Chicago, so now they'll be 3-1 on my sheet. I've got them beating the Bears on Sunday at Ford Field. It's a home game. Then two more road games. Remember, this is the stretch of 4 out of 5 on the road. They're already in the midst of that. They've got 2 down, 2 more to go. If I have them beating the Bears, now the one game that could be the twist game for me on my sheet is I have them beating Dallas. Now the Cowboys look so much better than I thought they would. Now that's not a gimme on my sheet because Tony Romo's been everything that in a bag of Rob Parker hot dog chips.
So that might change it. I mean, from the game that
I need a change.
Because
right now that's 6 wins.
Right. So that might be the one that corrects this pick. Do you know what I mean? When you go down the road and
on my sheet.
Right.
On Yoshi.
On Yoshi.
Yoshi.
So it'll be interesting to see. So, like you say, I never discount winning. It's about winning, Mark. It's about beating who's on the schedule. But just the whole – don't tell me the culture's changed yet. When you could go to Washington, beat
not
that team –
not the culture changed. Some of that talent is better than last year.
Well, I'll give you that. And we just got to see it when you play better people.
I thought Glover Quinn was good today. Chris Houston made – I just thought one mistake. Look, Schwartzy's 24-43.
Right, let's not.
He's
get
under
crazy.
The magic 20 under .500 mark. He's finally better than that. He's 19 games under .500 as coach of the Lions. What's hard to believe is that this freak has now coached 67 games of the Lions.
I tell you, had they lost this game.
I called
game,
you a freak, Jimbo.
Had they lost this game, this would have been a statement. I mean, a statement game, and probably the beginning of the end for Schwartz. I really believe that because of how poorly Washington had played in those first two games. But Mark, he gets a reprieve. He gets a chance to stick his chest out. He gets a chance to build on it. He gets a chance to take on the Bears and win that game. And like you say, start 3-1, and people say, okay, now the Bears are a good team, right? They beat the Bears. They're at home. And then you maybe go to Green Bay and then try to shock the world. Green Bay's defense is, they were up 30-14 today and lost.
Game, yep.
The defense has not been really good. So you start to look at those things.
But look, if we're both right, if I'm 5-11 and you're 7-9, he's gone in your mind anyhow.
Right.
He's saving his job at that number.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the heat is off of him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that could have been accelerated had they gone out and lost or been embarrassed in Washington, letting a bad team that's struggling beat you. So they didn't do that. Was it 27-20? They got out of there. They got to win. It's about winning. What do we say? Most NFL games are decided by 6 points or less. So it's a typical NFL game.
Both Calvin and Burleson had about 115 yards receiving. I mean, they finally used both in the offense. That's why I say Stafford was fairly – I don't want to use the word perfect ever, but he had one of his higher quarterback ratings.
Perfect? Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead. Bang on it.
What's that from?
The Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man.
What about 3D? Are you going to watch it in 3D?
No, I'm going. Are you IMAX 3D? Of course.
When does that open?
I don't know. It's coming soon. You know it's my all-time favorite movie.
I know. That's why I was going to ask you it anyhow.
I'm going to go see it. Are you kidding?
How do they do that?
I don't know. How do they take a movie and then make it into 3D? I don't know.
1939 movie. I just spit at you. 1939 movie and make it into 3D.
Well, it's an unbelievable thing. And that movie did not win Picture of the Year, which is always remember. Which picture won?
Gone with the Wind?
Can you imagine 1939, those two movies came out. Are you kidding? All-time classics?
That's pretty good. Scarlett, frankly, I don't give a damn.
Great line.
Look, I thought I'd never see it in my lifetime. I honestly didn't. I'm 50-whatever years old.
What, 3D and The Wizard of Oz?
No, not 3D and The Wizard of Oz, but a Lions win in D.C. I never thought I'd see it. I thought that would never happen. That was one of those streaks like Lambeau, but that's a streak that they've never won there. I just thought I'd never see that, so I'm giving up today because I saw it in my lifetime.
Yep, and now, see, once we always say, once you've done it, now next time they go down there, you're not looking at it the same way like they can't win there because they've won.
Well, most of the streaks have been beaten. I'll give them that. I mean, the Minnesota streak was beaten. I mean, I told somebody, I said, they have an Arizona streak. They haven't won there in 20 years.
Right.
That's an Arizona streak.
People don't get that.
They extended that this year. So you still have the Green Bay streak coming, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks against the Packers. So obviously, you know, they don't want to sit there and look past the Bears. We're playing the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, but
Talk about a bad football team, the Steelers.
That went down fast, didn't it?
They're all old. They're all banged up. They let some people go, Mark. Not a good football
team. Too many guys left too fast. And Harrison gone. Mendenhall gone. Way too many guys gone.
And Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, I watched him last week, and Mark, throwing the ball, he didn't look the same. You know what I mean? It's just not like, remember he used to be able to scramble and make things happen? I don't know. It just doesn't look the same to me.
Hey, we didn't even mention, we're at Billy Sims Barbecue today. We want to give Billy Sims a little shout-out.
Hey.
Little Billy Sims action. 10 Mile and Telegraph. You can't miss it. Got the big sign. You come in, you have the thing. I love the brisket. I love the chicken. In fact, I love everything on that menu. The Heisman's my favorite thing. Someone actually texted me after he listened to our podcast, and we mentioned Billy Sims, and asked me, what's my favorite thing? Because they want to come in. What do I get? I said, go for the Heisman. You can't go wrong. So there you go. If you come to Billy Sims, there's 3 great locations, one in Troy now, one downriver there at Dixon Emmons, and the one here at 10 Mile and Telegraph.
And at Ford Field, don't forget.
And Ford Field.
And Ford Field, they have the barbecue.
A couple other NFL things before we get to the colleges. Cincinnati, as you said, beat Green Bay 34-30. How about the Giants? How far gone is Tom Coughlin after getting killed 38-0 by Cam Newton?
And what a bad week for him. You know, he lost his brother unexpectedly.
Yes, right, yeah.
So it's been a really bad week, and they look horrible. They just look horrible, and I don't know, like, 0-3 again, Mark. Your season's just about over. I think it's 2% chance of making the playoffs. Was it 2%?
Well, we know nobody last year at 0-2 even.
At 0-2, and now you're looking at 0-3. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm surprised Washington wasn't more desperate, and I can't believe the Giants, even though it was a road game in Carolina, I can't believe that they didn't put up a fight to save their season. You know, like, they needed a fight.
It looked like they weren't even trying. When you start questioning effort, because that's the one thing you can control, that's usually the coaching thing. Don't you think a lot have tuned out Coughlin by now after all these years?
I think so. I think, you know, Coughlin could have been out.
Eli has got to have tuned him out.
And Eli looks pretty bad, so it's going to be a long year for the G-men.
Can I give a little love, though, to Brian Hoyer, Michigan State's very own Brian Hoyer, who threw 3 touchdown passes, well over 300 yards, completed 30, and Cleveland wins at Minnesota. I know the Vikings aren't good, but neither are the Browns. Someone had to win the damn thing, and it was the Browns that did it in Hoyer's first start. And I thought that was pretty impressive to do that. And he was on all the shows. He did a thing with the headphones on. I was kind of impressed and proud that a guy that I never thought would have an NFL career is still active. He was the backup to Brady for 3 years. Then he bounced around last year, went to 3 different teams, and now he's found at least something for Rob Chudzinski in Cleveland.
But is he just going to be, is he the starter now?
Well, until Brandon Whedon is able to play. Then, but you know how that works in this league. Hey, Brandon. You don't look ready to play.
Right. And when you start winning, people are looking for people to get back in. That's why I was telling you about the RG3 thing. Mark, they're not trying to damage their top pick and their rookie of the year and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? They want to win, but you got to think long and hard, and you got to say, if we do this, what road are we going
down? Well, I think with Whedon, look, he wasn't the number one overall pick. He was a high pick, but you know, especially with these rookie contracts not being what they were under Stafford and Sam Bradford from the Rams, look at the money that went down. I mean, those were $78 million deals taken down to the 20s now.
What a nice union that is.
I mean, to sell out the
rookies is unbelievable.
I have told everybody that would listen, you understand that this is $50 million less than rookies would normally make with that number one pick now.
And it wasn't like the money's going back in the pool to veterans. They get rid of the veterans, Mark. So I don't know how the union ever agreed to it. And this whole notion that they shouldn't get paid because they never played a game. I could never see.
Well, you always said since Gene Upshaw's days that it's the worst union in the world.
Worst. Absolutely worst. And, you know, we used to have Gene Upshaw on the show. May he rest in peace. And we used to go at it about it. I always told him that. I just thought that the union was weak.
I think it was his first deal. You said to him, Gene, it just wasn't a good deal. You ruined the game at that point. I mean, you ruined what players can do. Guys who have careers that the average is, 2.5 years once you even make the league. That's just making the league. Your average career is 2.5 years.
And even now, you know, you have a situation where you could have a good year, Mark, and you can't tear your deal up or say, I want more money. But if you have a bad year, they could say, we want you back, but not at that price. And if you don't agree to take a cut and pay, they release you.
And guys restructure all the time now because they're afraid of that. But Cam Newton will be the answer to your trivia question. He'll always be the first guy that suffered through that. That was the year after Stafford. I mean, that was a $78 million. Bradford, I think, was $76 million to $22 million. And people have forgotten about that. All right, look, let's do a little college. Michigan, UConn.
Did anybody show up to that game? Would they have 40,000 people?
Yeah, a record. It was a record game for
the small crowd, though.
East Hartford, Connecticut.
But I'm saying for Michigan to play in front of.
Well, yeah, well, they knew that going
people.
In.
Right.
That's a former airport that stadium is built on. There's still runways there that people park their cars on in East Hartford. Look, I'm telling you this. I glanced at that thing. I thought that was a no-brainer. I thought this was a Michigan rout. There was like four games of 70 points yesterday.
Struggled.
Should have lost. That Paul Pasqualoni, who used to coach at Syracuse, and Terry Bowden the week before, had Michigan's number. Look, Brady Hoke tried to put on a face yesterday after 24-21. Now that he was everything. Yeah, I know. You're doing your little dance.
Happy dance.
He put on a face so that all is well. We're 4-0. You can yell all you want. You can scream all you want. I'm giving you free donuts.
But it's
I'm eating all the donuts.
You know what? Again, as I said before, even with the line, it's who you beat, Mark. It's who you beat. Did they beat Notre Dame? Yes, they did beat Notre Dame. But these last 2 weeks have not been impressive at all. I'm sorry. UConn and Toledo just doesn't look good. And when you don't play well like that, you just say to yourself, are we really going to go and beat some good teams and beat teams on the road playing like that? I don't think so.
You know what an eye-opener to me was? When I heard the thing about Devin Gardner has not played a college football game without turning the ball over at least once. He hasn't had a perfect game yet. Not perfect, just not turned the ball over once. Plenty of quarterbacks go through games without a turnover.
Right.
He hasn't done that yet, which was a shock to me.
That's amazing, because you would think he would
played enough games.
Right. But also, I mean, he also gets the ball knocked. You know, he fumbles a lot as well. I'm surprised by that.
Well, it's a concern because everybody wanted Gardner over Robinson anyhow last year because Devin can throw the football better. He can zing it better. He's more of a gunslinger than Denard Robinson was. And now it looks like that gunslinging ain't working too well. He's getting picked by bad teams. Akron's, UConn's. That's not supposed to be happening.
Speaking of Denard Robinson, just a little side thing. Have you seen any numbers or anything that he's done?
I talked to Ping, our boy Ring Ping, about they said they have no interest in him. They just don't have enough interest in his supposed skill level in Jacksonville, even as bad as that football team is. That's what he told me. Because I said, here's an idea. Why put Chad Henne in the game? Why not? You're going nowhere. See what Denard can do at quarterback. Forget this other nonsense about running back and receiver and what do they call him? Just offensive weapon. That's what
right.
his like title is.
Right. Because he's not running back kicks, right? What is he doing?
No.
Is he playing at all?
He's playing a little bit, but not much. And Pink said no interest. Zero. They don't think he can throw enough, and it would be even more of an embarrassment to an already embarrassing situation.
And the other embarrassment that took place in Jacksonville this past week was the sign Tim Tebow rally out in front of the stadium.
Stupid.
How many people showed up, Mark Wilson?
How many?
20. I think it's over.
Well, you know, there's certain networks that don't want Tim Tebow to be over. For some reason, they think that's ratings, and I don't know why. But
If 10,000 people showed up outside, the Jaguars would have to take a look at it. But when you talk about 20 people showing up, they laugh that off, and they're done. They're not going to give in to that.
Well, his coach, college, Urban Meyer, was one of those that scored 70 in college. I'll get to that in a bit, but it was Ohio State, Louisville, Miami, and Baylor each scored 70-plus. This is always at week four to week three of some teams. It's their third game. That's always these blowout cash-grab games for the Savannah States of the world and the Southwest Missouris and all these.
Florida A&M.
Florida A&M.
Right.
FAMU played.
Right.
You know.
They got a payday. Where's the check? Cut the check.
Kwame already took it.
Oh, stop.
Kilpatrick took the check. And Bernard shared it. What are you talking about?
Unbelievable. Don't say that,
Kwame
Mark.
School. Why? Will he get into trouble? What's going to happen to Kwame?
He played there, right.
Yeah, he went to Florida A&M. He's a rattler.
Yep.
Michigan State, Notre Dame. Spartans.
Can I give you a little story about Florida A&M?
Sure. No, we got no time. It's a podcast.
That's where me and Pam first.
Pam Oliver?
Yeah.
First
First kind of met at
dated?
No, we didn't.
Went out.
We started
hooked
dating
up.
After that. And
nasty?
No, I'm going to just tell you.
Knock boots?
Would you stop? I'm telling you an honest story.
You didn't hit her in the head like with a ball or anything?
No, I did not. She's good, though. I'm glad she's okay. But, no, we were speaking to journalism students. She was down there.
You get that was a kind of a pun.
No, I got you.
Okay.
And we were down there, and we went out, and we talked and whatever. And that was the time we liked.
Coffee talk?
We had a little talk, and then we wound up dating a little bit.
At Florida A&M?
Yeah.
Why were you there?
That's where she went.
But why were
I was there. It was a journalism convention.
Where's Florida A&M? Is that Tallahassee or something?
Yeah, Tallahassee, Florida, yeah. So we were down there.
Is that a nice campus?
Yeah, real nice. Everything was nice. And we went down there, and we were invited there to speak to the kids and all that. And we were there, and we kind of met there. That was our first time.
So that's where you met, was at Florida A&M University.
Right. I had met her at the NBA All-Star game in Minnesota earlier, but that was the first time we really got a chance to talk. We went out to dinner as a group, and, you know, she sat across from me. So we had a little conversation. She's a really nice person.
If you don't know, Rob and Pam Oliver dated before you got married to your lovely bride at the time,
and
Camille.
And now she's married, right.
Now who's married?
Pam.
Oh, like Camille or
right.
something.
Right, but yeah, before that, right.
Who's she married to? You know the guy?
Yeah.
How long has she been married to? I don't even know that.
Number of years.
I don't pay attention. No. All right, so the Spartans lose to the Irish. Almost said beat. Wishful thinking. 17-13. There was all sorts of mess in that game, despite only losing by 4 points. And the problem, of course, is this now thing again with the quarterbacks. Here Connor Cook plays the entire game. He gets hit on the penultimate series. He walks off with his arm. Looks like his arm is hurt. He goes back to the bench. Final series, big one. Spartans can at least, you know, try to give it a shot to score a touchdown. In comes Andy Maxwell. So number 10 comes in. So people are going, all right, he must be hurt.
Connor better Cook, for slap Maxwell to come in.
Or Maxwell Smart. Mr. Smart, 99. So now Connor Cook says in the post game, no, I could have gone. I was a little disappointed that they decided at that point to, like, pull me. I could have gone. I wasn't hurt. Now, do you think Connor Cook didn't play the game, knowing full well he could have sat in front and said, yeah, my arm, it did look a little dead. I couldn't go.
But you know what? He can't play the game. The way he's being jerked around and the whole quarterback thing, Mark, you know, after a while you're like, dude, he probably told Coach, I'm all right. I can go in, and they just didn't want to hear that. So after a while, you're like, I'm not playing this game, okay? I came out, I ran back in. Don't you remember the Matt Stafford game against, was it the Browns? Where he was hurt, he ran back in, he wanted to come in, and he threw the game with a touchdown?
Is that the one where Mosley hurt him, and that now Mosley's a Lion?
Right. Yeah. See what I'm saying? So I just think that he probably is frustrated by the whole scenario. And D'Antonio, Mark, when is he going to win a big game? Like, seriously.
What are you saying? Beat Michigan 4 straight years.
Okay. A down Michigan team. I'm not. Say whatever you want. But I'm
You're ripping out the Rich Rodriguez, first-year Brady Hoke?
You mean the guys who got ran out of town? Yeah,
Are you willing to say right now that no way Ohio State beats Michigan this year?
Oh, I can't.
Just out of curiosity.
I'm not that impressed.
We got a ways to go yet.
I'm not impressed by Michigan State, but where's that game?
Here? I mean, here. East Lansing? Right. No, Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor?
East Lansing?
I don't know. It just depends, right? We're a ways from that.
You know what I did find really interesting, though? Notre Dame came in ranked 22. And remember, State lost by 4 points on the road. Not the biggest crime in the history of mankind to lose in South Bend on the road in Notre Dame, a ranked Notre Dame team. State was right. They actually were ranked by USA Today. They were 24th this past week. Some people didn't even realize that. But they were bubbling. They were 26th in everybody else's poll. Like, the next team in, like, you beat Notre Dame, you're in. You'll be 20 or 20, whatever. They plummeted. I mean, 2 votes. Now they're like, State. They lost by 4 on the road to Notre Dame, and I don't know if everybody was looking for a loss to just drop them like a ton of bricks. Normally, if you lose a game like that.
They don't have any with, come on, Mark. They don't have any.
I guess they didn't buy any. D'Antonio buys nothing with his program.
That's what I'm trying to say, is that they don't buy into it, that this is a good team, that this team can compete. And I want you to do some homework and do some research for me.
Oh, no.
All I want is his record against ranked opponents.
Oh.
It's not pretty.
No, probably wouldn't be. I know you're saying to yourself, look, D'Antonio's coached 7 years. What's his signature victory? Except maybe a Michigan win.
Or
the Notre Dame game in the overtime. Or the Wisconsin. Rob, they went to the championship. They played Wisconsin. They had that win over. That was Russell Wilson's team, who's now blowing it up in the NFL.
I just remember.
I don't know about that.
I remember. Well,
the Wisconsin the Hail Mary win might have been.
All right. I remember a lot of games, but they could beat Ohio State up at East Lansing. They never could do that. Would have had a chance to win some bigger games.
I know where you're going with this.
I'm not saying he hadn't won any game.
I know where you're going with this. When's the next time Michigan State's going to play in the BCS, going to go play in the Orange Bowl?
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, here's an idea. You haven't been to the Rose Bowl in 25 years. When you go into the Rose Bowl and win that game?
That's what I'm talking about.
When are you going to beat Oregon in the Rose Bowl so I can say, okay, now you've done something? Now
you've won that game where you say, okay, wow, well, I'm impressed.
What about beating Stafford in Georgia down in Florida in the bowl game?
I mean, excited about that?
I was excited when they beat Georgia.
All right.
and Stafford, you know, who we knew was going to be either the number one or number two quarterback pick.
Just check the records. That's all. That's what you, let me know that, okay?
Okay, coming up, I'm going to ask you about, we'll do Tigers-White Sox business, and then the Tigers, the final week, and I'm going to tell you this right now. People are listening to the podcast. Let me tell you this, okay? I know what's going through Rob Parker's mind right now, and I'm going to tell you, and he's going to start laughing his ass off. So you don't want to miss that. We're not really going anywhere because Ray's going to put these together. It's going to be the same thing, but Rob's got a commercial to do in a second. But he's got a commercial.
What I want to try to do first is I want to try to play this commercial up loud and see if you can hear it, and then I'll also do
it. Yeah, do whatever you want.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Let's just try this.
Okay, hit it.
The best haircuts in Detroit are at Sporty Cut.
Home of the $10 all-even haircut. Hey, Teak, don't take too much off. Come on!
7 Mile between Outer Drive and Myers, Sporty Cuts.
That's right. For the best haircuts in Detroit, come on down to Sporty Cuts, 7 Mile between Outer Drive and Myers, Mark. Home of the $10 all-even haircuts for adults, $8 for boys. So come on down. Great place to get a haircut.
So Tigers stuff coming up for the final week of the season. I want to get to the Los Angeles Dodgers celebration where John McCain got involved in this. The golf season is done. Tiger Woods did not. I want to know from Rob, seriously, I want to know, and I'll give you my opinion too, whether or not, even with 5 wins, this was a good season for Tiger Woods. All right, hold on. Hang on. And I want to bring up one of the greatest pieces of sports television I've ever seen, and the thing I was impressed by, and we'll do that in a second here, okay? So we should, like, play music or something.
No music.
It's the Parker and the Man podcast for Billy Sims Barbecue at 10 Mile and Telegraph. Woohoo! It's not just barbecue, it's Boomer Q. We're talking Billy Sims Barbecue. The legendary Heisman Trophy running back of the Detroit Lions has scored big with his succulent, mouth-watering brisket, ribs, pulled pork and chicken. Sides like coleslaw, baked beans, and okie toast will complete your fantastic feast. Two easy locations, on Telegraph near 10 Mile and in Lincoln Park at Dixon Evans. Billy Sims Barbecue. And yes, I'll say it again, it's Boomer Q. All right, I also want to take this time now to do some shout-outs or promote. What do we got to promote? You did the Sporty Cuts. What about the hot dogs? What about the All-Star Doggage or the Sporty Dogs?
That's right, All-Star Dogs, 7 Mile between 7 Mile between Southfield Freeway and Evergreen.
And what's the big specials?
Well, we're coming up. We got some new specials coming up. We got a new commercial. Maybe I'll play a little bit later on.
Another new commercial.
That's right.
You spent some bucks.
You know, some big bucks. But we got 2 for Tuesday coming up, Mark.
2 for Tuesday, the twofer.
Right. You'll be able to buy one hot dog, get one free for a lesser value, equal or lesser value. And also, Dollar Thursday, you get a hot dog, fries, or a cheese fries for $1.
I want to give a shout-out to Sportscaster Talent Agency of America, STAA, our boy John Chalesnik, who used to be at ESPN, by the by, who runs that particular site. This is like an industry website for people in the business. And Butch Davis had called me this week, and he didn't know about the 2013 21st century way of going about. If you want to be a sportscaster in life, if that's what your goal is, if that's what your dream is, I'm telling you to check out STAA, Sportscaster Talent Agency, STAATalent.com. I have a page on there. I know you don't, Rob, but you probably should have a page. But that's the way this is going. In my duties as a program director at the NBC Sports Radio Detroit affiliate thing, I will only take links. I will only take these. I will not take tapes and bags anymore. So if people were looking for a gig, they have to send me a link to their, we call a talent page. You can see my talent page on ParkerandTheMan.com. Just go there, you'll see Mark's talent page, and click on the thing, and you'll see my resume, you'll see my picture, some audio and video samples
on
there.
It's really good. I told you, I went through it really.
Well, Butch is going to be one of those that's doing it. Now, the only reason I'm pushing this is because I know so many people ask me all the time, hey, look, PD, OM, how do I get a gig in the business? And I say, look, starts with a talent page. You have to have something to send to people. You got to have some examples of your proficiency, of your work. So that's the best way I wanted. It's really reasonable. He's got reasonable rates, but John Chalesnik is the guy. And just check out STAA. And it's, you know what? It's a good website anyhow if you're a sports fan. A lot of news, a lot of things happening in the sports media business. Media riffraff.
There's
media riffraff on there. So again, that's STAA. You can, if you like what you hear, if you hate us to death, and you're going to tell us to go F ourselves.
Would you stop with all that nasty talk?
You can email us right now at ParkerandTheMan@yahoo.com. So ParkerTheMan@yahoo will take your emails. And coming up on these podcasts, you know, I got so many of these T-shirts left and stuff. We'll do some giveaways where we give away some of my old ESPN Detroit T-shirts.
Do you have those?
I got some left. And they're not used. I have no use for them anymore.
No, they're nice. I have one.
I'll throw them in the garbage.
Right. No. The ESPN and the ones that say
ESPN. Give them away.
ESPN Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are nice. Those are
give
really
them away.
Nice. Why not?
Media Riff Raff.
Okay.
A Media Riff Raff giveaway.
I got you. And that hoodie you got me. I love
you
that
like hoodie. The hoodie?
Yeah. Nice.
I don't know if I've got any of those left, but we definitely have T-shirts and maybe some the golf shirts and hats. So we'll do that in the future. You want to be listening to the Parker and the Man podcast and log on early. Log off often. That's what she said. The documentary I was mentioning has to do with Joe Namath. Have you seen it yet?
I've not seen it, but, you know, growing up in New York and the Jets and all that, something I want to see.
HBO On Demand. If you have HBO, it's going to be on a few more times this month in September. But if you go to On Demand, you can watch it immediately, as you know. Here's what I got from this. First of all, it's a great piece of stuff. It talks about everything in his career, from the time in Beaver Falls through Alabama, playing for Bear Bryant. Through his time in the NFL, through the Super Bowl, the whole idea that maybe it was a thrown Super Bowl at some point. They bring all that stuff up. Even to Susie Colbert, the I Want to Kiss You, We're Struggling, I Want to Kiss You. They both are in there. They have a lot of old Jets in there, like Don Maynard is in there, and Matt Snell, and Emerson Boozer. Some of the great Jets are in there. But here's what got me, though. Because they talked about him going to the Hall of Fame. He went in the Hall of Fame like in 82, 5 years after he was done with that last year with the Rams. He played all with the Jets and then with the Rams. If you look at his statistics and covered up his name, you'd wonder how the hell is he in a Hall of Fame?
Well, but he's the guy who created the merger, who forced the merger because they beat the Colts. I mean, that's a big part. And Mark, he was the first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards.
First quarterback to throw for 4,000.
So he has a couple of signature hooks. That help you. I tell people all the time, you have to have those. But you're right. His numbers, if you just look at them, they're very ordinary.
Well, I tell people this all the time about Bobby Lane. Look at Bobby Lane's numbers. Lane had many more interceptions than touchdown passes. Never had that many yards passing. And his overall figures, I think, for example, Namath was barely a 50% passer in the NFL. His lifetime quarterback rating was 65.5. You know who's got those numbers? Mike McMahon. And no one's about to stick Mike McMahon into a Hall of Fame anytime soon.
But he also didn't predict the Super Bowl against the Colts at that time, Mark. People don't want to understand.
Well, the NFL does the best job at putting game changers in their Hall of Fame, that they don't care about the statistics that much. First of all, you would never have an offensive lineman in because they have no stats.
You just see guys' names walk on a page, and there's nothing there for you, right?
Just games played. It's the only stat that an offensive lineman will have. So the only reason I'm bringing this up was because I hadn't really noticed Namath's numbers until I went. I'm always doing that. Whenever I see a doc, I go back to Wikipedia because it's so easy to do. I said, I want to just see that career again. I want to just look at it again. Plus, there's the whole thing about Bachelor's 3. The bar that he had, the bar club that he had back in New York, which also there was one in Florida when I was a teenager. We went to Bachelor's 3 in Fort Lauderdale. That was a spinoff. He had two other clubs. There is actually still a Bachelor's 3 in New Orleans. Someone took the name or something. But Bachelor's 3, I think at the time, was supposed to be Namath, Mays, and Mantle. Wasn't it supposed to be that was the Bachelor's 3? And
it was a club for the high
rollers. Sinatra went, all the big names went.
Yeah, no, I think that is what it was.
He retired from the NFL because Pete Rozelle had told him either divest your interests or be suspended. He said, how about this? Screw you. I'm going to go retire. People forget he retired in 1970. And then had to be coaxed out of retirement. They made a deal with Rozelle, and he only played the last 5 games of that season. So he missed that first 9 games of the year.
Speaking of
14
that,
back then.
Just let me take you back for a second. There's a great scene on the old TV show The Odd Couple where Howard Cosell is talking to Oscar Madison, who's in the press, you know, he's doing like doing a game or whatever. Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing that's just funny about it, because about Joe Namath, He says he's like taking shots at Oscar about columns that he's written. He goes, don't you remember it was just 1 year ago you had that exclusive about announcing Joe Woolley's retirement? You know, and Joe is playing in the game that they're doing. And Oscar goes, he changed his mind. It's set up. You know what
are
I mean?
By the way, speaking of that, are you angry about this whole Klugman thing? This Klugman controversy for the Emmys on Sunday, tonight?
Yeah, yes, very much so.
Because there's the guy from Glee who took his life, Corey Monteith, is getting a big memoriam tribute during the Emmys, and Jack Klugman, who passed away this year, is not getting one.
Jack Klugman.
And there's some real people are very, some real angry folk who are not happy about that.
Because Jack Klugman, Mark, I know he was a 90-year-old man, and people, you know, it's about now and what people remember, but are you kidding? I mean, first of all, Mark, that show right there, iconic, and he did Twilight Zone episodes. He was great. He was a actor for a long time on a lot of different
things. Went on
things.
To Quincy. Quincy. And made another number one show.
Which was like a CSI kind of
it
show
led the
at
pack.
That time. Right, right.
Started that all.
Right,
whole
it was
thing.
A medical exam.
Before there was CSI Miami and New York, and now, of course, NCIS and all these shows, there was Quincy.
Right.
That really kind of led the band.
Right, so he had two very successful, not sitcoms, but TV shows, and he did a lot of other stuff. I mean, he should be. And Mark, when everybody says Oscar Madison, we don't know Jack Klugman. Everybody knows that.
You know, it's television once again saying it caters to youth, and people they think don't know who Jack Klugman is anymore, but they know the kid from Glee. They know Corey from Glee, so that he gets the big thing and a 55-year career or 60-year career in the television business.
He's just going to get a blip, like you know, when they run the pictures of everybody, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not happy about it. Tony Randall wouldn't be happy either if he were alive.
He wouldn't be. He'd be 90 now, wouldn't he be? And he's still got a kid. How old is this kid?
He got two kids.
Young kids. Teenagers, not even teenagers.
They might be, now they might be 13 or 14.
All right, here's what Rob Parker's thinking about the Tigers. You ready? Can I say it? I'm looking around here at Billy Sims Barbecue, 10 Mile and Telegraph. No, we're not being paid for that. I'm just telling you, because we love the place. And we're watching The Simpsons, if you hear that in the background. Here's what Rob's thinking, okay? I know you know what I'm going to say.
No, I don't know.
Okay,
I have
you're
no
at the
idea.
Game. You're at the game. Sunday's loss to the White Sox, so they lose to the White Sox after that great comeback on Saturday.
Only the White Sox could. How can a guy? What do you walk four guys in the inning? I mean, come on, Mark, Robin Ventura would fall asleep. Seriously, Mark, walking guys.
Well, let me tell you about this Nate Jones though. His ERA in his last 19 efforts was 0.44.
Don't care. Don't. When you have a 6-0 lead and you
start, 0.44.
When you start walking people, Mark, you're out. You're out.
Okay.
I would rather six Tigers get up and all six hit a home run off of you than you walk him. Once you walk people and allow that to happen, that's why they lost.
Well, I will say there's a reason why the Tigers have not done this since 1947. That was the last time they were down by six or more runs in the ninth inning and came back to either tie or win the game. And they won the game. So it's the first time since 47. It's the first time since 1918 that the White Sox had blown a six-run lead or more in the ninth. You'd think six was not that big a number, like that would happen at some point. That's a long time. That's almost 100 years that the White Sox had not let a lead like that go.
And I think the Tigers, when they did it, they were celebrating Jackie Robinson's entrance into the major.
Well, that was the year. That was that's how long ago that was.
Yeah, but the Tigers weren't celebrating.
Well, no, because they didn't integrate
until
years.
10 years
later? Yeah, years later. Who was it again?
And it's not even really.
Ozzie Virgil.
But he's not black.
Really? Well, Jake, what's his name, was the real first black player
right.
for the Tigers.
Ozzie Virgil was Hispanic.
Jake Wood.
Wood
was the guy. All right, so anyhow, here's what Rob's thinking, now that you know that. All right, so the comeback, they lose 6-3 on Sunday. You've got Minnesota then Miami to wrap up the season. Cleveland has two with the White Sox and four with Minnesota. They each have six games left. Tigers have a five-game lead. Magic number's two. Here's what Rob's thinking. I know I've waited long enough. Six games, five-game lead. He's thinking 64 Phillies or whatever that was with Gene Mauch. He's thinking Tigers lose them all. Cleveland wins them all. Cleveland wins the division by a game. That's what Rob is. I'm telling you, it's in your head. Prove to me that it's not.
It's not, but I've seen.
I don't believe you.
I've seen worse. You're talking about the Phillies. How about the Mets, Mark?
What was that, though? That was an eight. That was a six-game lead with eight to play, I think.
Mark, the Mets?
No, the old Phillies and Reds.
But the Mets had the all-time. It was five-game lead, Mark, with seven to play. I mean, that I think that's the. That's the one. The Tigers blew the division. They made the playoffs in the wild card, but they blew it. Remember, they had a three game lead with four to play, and they got swept by the Kansas City Royals at home, four straight games. And the Royals were terrible that year, and they gave it up.
So you're not in your head.
No, I'm not.
You're not thinking that.
I'm not.
That the Cleveland Indians with two games. Here's how it's going to work. Tigers go to Minnesota. This is still road games at Minnesota. No guarantees there. Now you got this funky, weird three-game thing against the Marlins in Miami to finish the year. You haven't seen the Marlins all year. Now you get to see the Marlins, who have nothing better to do than to knock your block off. They have nothing better to do than to say, Screw it. Let's try to win some games. Because they got nothing. They got nothing going on there. Cleveland goes to the White Sox, where they've been very successful in Chicago. No, that's at home. That's in Cleveland. Then they finish with four at Minnesota. So, Rob, here it is again. Six games left, five-game lead.
No.
All right, fine.
I'm not trying to bait me, but I'm not going there. I expect them to win the division. If they don't, I mean, it would be unbelievable. The only thing I'm really concerned about, and
Miguel Cabrera?
Yeah, you can check my column on clickondetroit.com.
Oh, there you go. What is it again?
Clickondetroit.com, and I'm writing about, you know, the whole Miggy thing. Mark, he's got two extra base hits since August 26th.
Right.
You could kid yourself. He's a singles hitter who clogs up the bases, and Mark has to go station to station to score. You cannot have that in the postseason.
Was it a mistake just to not sit him and say, screw the numbers, we're going to do this. If we're going to do it, we have to do it. Look. Well, that's a hard call.
I think I would have tried to sit him or rest him a couple of days here and there, because ultimately the problem you have now is you kind of need to play him a little bit, because the layoff, if they win a division, the season ends on Sunday. Mark, you don't play the first game until the following Friday out in Oakland, if that's the way it, you know, stays in that situation. It's a long layoff, and is that really what you want him to do? I mean, you want him to get some rest. But do you want to have such a big layoff?
Here's what I've heard. I've heard, though, that the doctors say it won't matter. That a couple of days off doesn't matter. What he needs is 2 months off, which he can't have right now. Meaning he needs the off season to get better, come back in Lakeland in February, and he should be right as rain. But right now, a couple of days isn't going to help him at all. So what difference does it make? You might as well play him.
Can I give you an unbelievable funny by Miguel Cabrera today?
Really? Wow. I can't wait. What could be funny?
So imagine the whole press corps is around him and cameras and all this. So he says something like, you know, I got to play and I got to produce. I'm standing right next to him, Mark. I got to play. I got to produce. I got to do well. Otherwise, this guy here is going to be on me. This guy right here is going to be
on
me.
He's pointing at you.
And he said, put the camera on him. That's what he says to the guy. Put the camera on him.
And do they actually do it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like, this guy here, he'll be on me hard if I don't produce, if I don't get... It was really, like, for him to, like, kind of get out of character and do that and have fun, it was just funny. I said, oh, you got to put me on the spot like that? He goes, you know how you are. You if somebody...
I would have traded him.
When?
Kidding.
Oh, I don't know. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I would have just traded him. If I knew he was going to be this lame, you know, he was going to be this terrible at the
lame
end of the season.
Lame as in hurt and unable to play, lame?
It is amazing that the guy can come out of a game after a three-hit game, still have three hits in the game, and that's an injury-prone three hits.
I know.
He's amazing.
He is.
We've glorified his career enough, I think. There's no question. I do believe he's the MVP. I think he's the MVP over Davis and not Trout. Sorry, sabermetric human beings. 51 home runs now. Hitting 50 is a special thing because the juice is gone. So in an era where everybody's clean, 40 is a struggle in the NL. I don't think anybody's going to get to 40. And only a couple of people even have a chance to get to 40 in the American League. And yet you have a 50 home run hitter with 130-plus who's batted 300-plus most of the season and kept the Orioles afloat. I don't know how you could say anybody but him would finish second to Cabrera, and I don't think it's Trout.
Well,
the numbers are too lame.
I'm just telling you, Mark.
Too low.
You know those guys, the geeks.
Yes, the sabermetric people will tell you WAR wins above replacement.
You know what,
Trout
you know
blows
what, you
them
know
away.
What's amazing is the other one that isn't a lock either is Cy Young.
Scherzer?
It isn't, Mark, because of his ERA, because of the run support. And remember, they've already given King Felix a Cy Young when he was 13-12. And Darvish, even though Mark hasn't been able to win, if you look at Darvish, I think he has 9 losses. Darvish, of his 9 losses, 4 or 5 of them, and four or five of them, were 1-0. So when they go back and they look, they see, well, Max Scherzer was getting 7 runs a game. That's why he has all these wins. If this guy was on that team, same thing. I think CC Sabathia, the year that King Felix won, I think CC won 21 games that year. They didn't care. They said, you know, the Yankees, they give you 7 runs a night.
No, I never thought Scherzer was a lock.
It's not a lock.
Not a lock because of the run support. I think that was first and foremost. Plus, remember, it's always, what have you done for me lately? And he kind of struggled to get to the 20th. So now you're making the 20 number too big for its britches. Because like you said, we now have baseball guys who've won 13 games and won a Cy Young.
So he was 13-12.
And remember, Max has had, what, one complete game in his career that he finally had a complete game. But you asked me a question about Jake Peavy, or you said, when was the last time a guy had no complete games and won a Cy Young? Was it you that asked me that?
No.
Someone asked me that, and I said it was Jake Peavy. He's the last guy to win a Cy Young Award, was now 7 or 8 years ago with the White Sox, and not have a complete game. So it has happened in the past. It would not have been the first time if a guy had won a Cy without having a CG. So, I agree. And we'll talk about it more in the next podcast or something as we get closer to the awards. But I never thought that Scherzer was a lock cinch to win Cy Young Award, even with the 20 wins. Although, there's no question it's special when you have that run of unbeaten and unbeaten. But Clay Buchholz was doing that for Boston, too. So, if he had cruised into 20 and he had 24, 25 by now, that's a different story.
Oh, totally different, right. And I'm just saying, I mean, he's had an unbelievable year and stuff. And the other part, just talking about pitching, I still believe Justin Verlander is going to start game one of the playoffs. I just do. I think, Mark, they got a lot invested in him.
He's going to pitch anyhow.
He's going to pitch anyway. And you know what? The other thing you got to think of, are you really winning anything if Justin Verlander's bad? So he's going to pitch anyway.
No, because he's going to pitch anyway.
Right.
So if he's bad, you're going to lose a game anyhow. Whether it's the first one or the second one, doesn't make a difference. There's no strategy there. You think there is, but there's not.
And the other thing is, if you start him game one, Mark, and he comes through for you, boom, confidence is up, everything else. Now, if he's pitching and you start him and he struggles, you have Porcello in the bullpen ready to go, and you put him on a short leash. So you don't lose. It's not like you're going to let him go out there and give up 7 earned runs. Do you know what I mean? He's already on a short leash. Everybody is in the playoffs. So you put him out there. Let's see what we got. If we get 4, 5, 6, 7 innings, or whatever. If he struggles in the fourth inning and starts to give up some runs, you take him out.
Speaking of Ricky P, who, and if anybody has listened to me even on the 1090 show, you'll know that I'm a Porcello freak because I think it's amazing what he's done numbers-wise before his 25th birthday. Better than Koufax and Spahn, all these guys.
I'm not that big on him.
No, I understand. There's
only
a lot of people aren't. I know.
Because
ERA's not great.
ERA is really high.
I get it.
But
I don't want to see what he can do when he's 25, 26, 27 somewhere else. And he'll get one more start here, right, this week? Right? Is
yeah.
that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to keep this streak going. You know what the streak is?
14 no more.
14, 10, 14, 10, 14. That's what it'll be. That'll be his 5 years in the majors. Rookie season was 14 wins. He went down to 10. Back to 14. Went back to 10 last year. Now he's at 14 again. It's like that Brett Saberhagen thing where he had great seasons on even years and bad on odd years.
See, I don't know. I look at Rick Porcello as like Walt Terrell.
That wasn't so bad when he won 17 games.
But I just don't think of him as, I don't know.
Maybe. So your number five guy, Walt Terrell, I'd take that.
Last year, and I know last year gave up the most hits in the American League. I mean, it's
not. Even though the number wasn't that big.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, but still, but the number wasn't that big.
But still, it's still.
He didn't give up 400 hits or anything.
It's still the most hits. That's what I'm saying. Gives up most of his games.
He's 23 years old.
He gives up 10 hits. You know what I mean?
Dude, we can have this back and forth. To win 60 games before you're 25, Warren Spahn won 370 times. Didn't even get a win until he was 25 years old. Now, I'm not comparing him to Spahny in the Hall of Fame.
I'm thinking a guy who's drafted that high would be better to me. That's all. He's supposed to be a stud. He's first-round draft.
Yeah, but that's always he didn't come out of college. He came out of high school. That's why he's so young still. And they rushed him up to the majors a little too fast. And I think he's been adequate.
Mark,
he's been better than adequate.
Normally,
for a five starter.
Normally, when you're a star, it's automatic. It's right away. It's not overtime. I'm talking about a star. So I'm just saying, is he a good pitcher? Yeah, he's a good pitcher. Can you have him on your team? Absolutely. I'm not knocking him for that. Dwight Gooden, Roger Clemens, go look at those guys out the box. I'm just talking about
out
the dough. Those guys are like lights out. Dwight Gooden won 17 games his rookie year. 19
Come on,
years
again,
old.
You're comparing him to a guy who might have been the best ever. As a teenager, the best ever.
No, Joe Nuxall, right, at 14.
Nuxie pitched one inning at the age of 15 years old. One inning. And then he didn't come back till he was like 23.
Right.
Like 8 years spent away from the majors. So when someone says, Nuxall was the youngest at 15 to pitch in the majors.
That's one inning. I know, but that's still unbelievable.
And actually the best teenager of all time would be Bob Feller. Because Feller was pitching at 17 and actually was a big winner at 17,
that's
18.
That's unbelievable. Nuxie.
That's all, yeah. I mean, but to come back 8 years later and then to have a good career.
Right.
Won 150 games.
No, they loved him in Cincinnati. Yeah. You know, a long-time broadcaster. May he rest in peace.
Yeah. Not that long ago.
No.
A couple years now, in fact.
Great guy. You know, I covered the Reds, spent a lot of time around them. I loved them.
All right. The Dodgers thing with the Arizona Diamondbacks winning the division. They've won divisions. They haven't been to the World Series since 88, since Gibby hit the home run. And I bring up Gibby because when they jump into the pool in Arizona after winning it, they were asked nicely to just, you know, you can do it in the clubhouse all day. You spend as much time as you need to celebrate. But please don't do it on the field. And they came back on the field, jumped into the pool that they have there at the old Bob. I still call it the Bob. Bank One Ballpark, even though it's Chase or whatever now. And to do it in front of a guy, in front of Gibby, the Dodgers in front of one of their, the iconic moments ever in the history of that franchise was hit by Kirk Gibson. It's not the greatest homer ever because Bobby Thompson will always have the greatest home run ever. And probably number two is Mazeroski against the Yankees in 60.
The walk-off for World Series?
Well, he and Joe Carter are the only guys to have
done
that.
Right, right.
So the Gibby homer's up there top five probably. He's the manager of the Diamondbacks. Do you have a problem with him jumping into the pool to celebrate?
Well, the only reason that Gibby is pretty big, that was his only at-bat in that World
Changed
Series.
The series, though.
Deflated
the A's.
And against who?
Eckersley.
Right, one of the all-time greats as far as close. So it did have a lot of elements. When that's your only at-bat and you can barely walk up there, it said something. No, I don't have any issues. That's sour grapes by Arizona. Beat them. Beat them on your home field and they can't celebrate. I'm not buying all that.
So you're cool with the jump in the pool.
Where's the sign that says you can't get in the pool? Did they knock kids over?
They waited
till everybody was gone. Mark, it's...
They have a pool. It's pretty cool.
There's a pool there. Did I see a sign that said no celebrating players in the pool?
No Dodgers of the pool.
And if there was a sign, then that would be something.
That would have been hilarious if they actually put a sign up that said no Dodgers in the pool and like just that night had done that. Just like the thing with the golf and the Sifford thing. Anybody who wins the Canadian Open will not be certified to play in the Masters while Sifford is winning the Canadian Open.
That's one of the all-time stories.
All right, then what about John McCain getting involved? Here was the tweet. I'll read you the tweet. And I know Yasiel Puig and Gibby had a thing, too. Puig had some deal with Gibby, and I could care. Because Gibby doesn't like anybody. We all know. He's our guy. He was our insider. Don't forget, Rob, at WDFN, AM 1130, The Fan, in the garage downtown.
You mean the man. Oh, the
whatever.
Fan.
Go get dicked. Downtown. Kirk Gibson was once our insider on the radio, okay? If people have forgotten, Gibby and Gary Danielson were our baseball and football insiders, respectively. So this was all in front of Gibby. But here's the John McCain, senator from Arizona, ran for president, if you missed it, a few years ago with that lady. With the lady.
Hey, lady.
Hey, lady. With the lady. By the way, I DVR'd Game Change. Have you seen it at all? I want to see that thing. That's kind of the Sarah Palin thing with Julianne Moore. Here's the tweet. Quote, no class act by a bunch of overpaid, immature, arrogant, spoiled brats. The hashtag Dodgers, I'm surprised even what a hashtag was. The hashtag Dodgers are idiots. I'm going to read it again because I have a point real quick to make, then you can say your piece. No class act by a bunch of overpaid, immature, arrogant, spoiled brats. Isn't that really the Republican Party? I mean, was he talking about the Dodgers or the Republican Party in that one? Then he said, the hashtag Dodgers are idiots. Should McCain have even gotten involved with a tweet?
No, of course, he has a right to do it. He has a Twitter, Mark. He's from Arizona.
I don't want to talk about his sciatica or his health problems. What do you mean he's got a Twitter? I've seen his Twitter. It's not good. Not like Anthony Weider's Twitter.
He has a right to comment and all that stuff. I just think it's fruitless. They beat you, they win, they celebrate. It happens all the time. Why is the pool bothering you? I just don't get the pool thing. I was in the pool. You remember the shrinkage? I was in the pool. He's trying to.
Yes, right. Yes.
Okay. Enough.
That was Jason Alexander. Right. That was Rick Costanza.
Right.
George.
Costanza. But what's the big deal, Mark? Did they trample a four-year-old who was in the pool, knock him over? Did they kick the kids out of the pool? They didn't do any of that.
Do you think McCain was just defending his Arizona ball club?
Yes, he was. He was doing what senators do, right? You trample over my home.
Anything else.
No. The gridlock. But you trample over my home state, I'm gonna stand up for him.
You know, work on reform and not shutting down the government. Before you start worrying about whether the Dodgers celebrated too much on your little baseball field.
And the cable a la carte, because I'm digging that. John McCain, I'm digging that.
What about Obamacare? It starts in 10 days, not even. What is this?
I'm digging that, too.
The Obamacare, October 1st? Go to healthcare.gov, by the way. Just a little shout-out to the Obamacare. Last thing. Tiger Woods, season's over. Henrik Stenson won the $10 million, and he won the did a great job, won the Tour Championship in Atlanta at East Lake. Beat Jordan Spieth, who is the up-and-comer, by the way, people, in the PGA Tour. He's 20 years old. He's already got a victory, and he was in the top five seemingly every week for the last 2 months. Jordan Spieth. He beat Spieth and Steve Stricker by three shots. Tiger did shoot a 67 final round. He finished way back. He did not have a good run there at the end of the playoffs. He had a bad situation, bad scene in Chicago at Conway Farms, Lake Forest. Didn't do well in Atlanta. He won five times this year. No majors. Success or not for Tiger with five wins, but no majors again for the, what, fifth straight year?
No way, no how. Tiger has always been about the majors, Mark. That's what it's about. I mean, find the win and keep doing your thing and collecting the checks and getting paid. But he knows it's all about the majors, and I'm not one of those guys who thinks that he can't win a major ever again. I don't believe that. He still has how many years?
It's 37. I mean,
he's got 13 years?
Jack won his last at 46.
That's what I'm
trying
to say.
That's 9 years.
So he's got plenty of time and to get how many he needs, five?
He needs five to pass.
Five to pass. People who think it's impossible, and I'm telling you, if he wins one, you never know, Mark. It could just, it's like a breakthrough. You know what I mean? You win that one. So, but it's all about the majors. I'm not about these other tournaments or whatever. It's about the majors.
Even though the PGA Tour has themselves tried to downplay major golf by creating the FedEx Cup, by creating this little playoff thing that they do at the end, and it's kind of good stuff. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the little pairing down to the final 30 that play just in Atlanta for those 4 days. It's a 4-day tournament, no cut. You know, so they do it the right way. I think this is really a well set up thing. If you're a golf fan, you appreciate that playoff. It's not like the NASCAR thing. 10 races? How do you get into a 10-race? It's like the whole other season starts. Every time I hear, well, they're going to add Jeff Gordon. He's the 13th guy in the chase for the cup. But it's 10 more races. I mean, they do, four golf tournaments, call it a day, pair it down each time, final 30 play in Atlanta, way to go. Stenson was the winner, $10 million plus the victory money that he won just for the tournament. I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to still say that there were people, after Elon Nordgren Woods slammed a golf club into his SUV back in that fateful Thanksgiving of 2009, that thought he might never win again. And all he's done is come back and won, I think, a grand total now of about 10 times. Whether it be the Masters, U.S. Open, PGA, or British, I'm not saying I don't care. I'm not diminishing what that would mean to him. I think winning five times on the PGA Tour when probably, I think, what was the figure? 89% or 92% of all guys who play on the PGA Tour never win once. And this guy wins five more in a year, and we diminish it because, well, it wasn't the U.S. Open. Well, it wasn't the Masters. I'm not going to call that a not successful season.
All right. I mean, that's fair, but when it comes to Tiger Woods, Mark, he always talked about it. I think we know that. And because he hasn't won in so many years, I think that's what makes it if he had not won like he did, then it would be a great year. But he won at such a pace early on, I think it's just a thing where people expect him to win majors. And because he hasn't won one, all the other winning just doesn't mean as much. That's all.
Okay. Well, look, that's going to do it. That's podcast number three. Got anything else you want to add, Mr. Click on Detroit?
Nope, don't forget.
Looking at your little sweatshirt. Dude, why is it getting colder? It's going to be 80 degrees at the end of the week. Why do people still dress, even though it's not that cold out, like it's the middle of winter
it's
already?
It's still chilly a little
Why
bit.
Why are you rushing to get heavy clothes back on?
These are regular brown pants. It's not.
You've just seen some of the people. Is that
corduroys on?
No. Some of the people that left Billy Sims, you would have sworn you were in the Yukon. Wearing heavy coats already. Are you crazy? It's going to be 70, 75, 78, 80 degrees. Why are you rushing to winter? I have no idea this. That's what the craziest thing about Midwestern northern people are. And I'm one of them because I was born in this region. Never can understand why they want to get out of the shorts and flip-flops and T-shirts. That makes no sense to me. So you got nothing else? You're
no,
good?
No, that's it. Like I said, check out clickondetroit.com. Read my column. Also, theshadowleague.com. Mark, there'll be a fresh column up as well. So you want to check out those couple of sites. And we'll see you next week.
I don't think I got anything else except to say if you want to email us, don't forget, ParkerTheMan@yahoo.com. We'll have some new emails, too, to use some different email addresses. But ParkerTheMan@yahoo.com. Okay, we'll wrap it up. He's Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson. We'll see you next time on our next podcast.
Bye-bye.
NBC. See you later. How's that?
Great.